Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Hey, y'all. Isaac Constance here again, filling in for Al Martin on today's edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It's June 20th. Beautiful day. Al Martin's flight was actually delayed, so he'll be back in town this afternoon. But for now, we've got a show planned nonetheless. Actually, starting it off with a little bit of national news and something that's really caught fire recently. Donald De La Haye, a UCF kicker who has not been allowed to make any more YouTube videos. We'll tell you why and why this might be one of the most egregious violations of personal freedom that the NCAA has ever committed. I'm really disgusted by this one. There's going to be a rant coming. All right, it was an early morning for me. I lost my keys, had to wake up at 5, go to the gym, pick them up. There's a rant coming. You're going to want to hear it. Plus, MSU recruiting actually receiving quite a boost from Saturday's football camp. Two new signings. We'll introduce you to them, tell you who they are, what they bring to the team. Plus, if MSU's starting to turn it around, forget the shadow of course, this sexual assault investigation that has plagued the team for the last 4 months. We also touched on it yesterday, but we'll revisit it today. Big news coming in terms of both the NBA and NHL drafts. The NHL, of course, having an expansion draft for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, a newly formed team within the league, and the NBA having its rookie class selected on Thursday. We'll tell you some big moves that might shake up not only in the drafts themselves, but also surrounding them. You'll want to stay put for that. Also, what could the Pistons do to shake it up a little bit? Disappointing season for them, as is the Detroit Tigers season. We'll talk about what's gone wrong with Detroit sports. All that and so much more. You're going to want to call in today. 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-WKAR. Or you can tweet me at Isaac Constance. I'll be sure to read all your comments live on the air. But first, you know how we start each and every show. It's time for your current sports quick hit headliners. Michigan State football landed another recruit on Monday. This time, it was three-star offensive lineman Dimitri Douglas, the Saline Michigan native, was approached by MSU O-line coach Mark Stadden after the Spartans elite camp on Saturday. Now the recruiting coordinator, Stadden led Douglas to the office of Coach D'Antonio, where he was given an offer. And with the addition of the 6'4", 285-pound tackle, the Spartans 2018 class has continued to gain momentum as the Spartans now have three in-state pledges, 9 total, Of course, that coming just a day after Davion Williams announced that he was coming to MSU. Same stuff, different day, though, for the Detroit Tigers. After going winless in his last stint with the AAA Toledo Mudhens, Anibal Sanchez actually had a decent outing in yesterday's game. In a 6-2 loss to the Seattle Mariners that was in no fault of his own, Sanchez tossed 5 innings, struck out 5, and gave up 2 earned runs on 5 hits. The Tigers still had a chance to win when he left the game, but the so-called bullpen, I'm not sure you can even call it a so-called bullpen, the rest of the team took over, and a ruined start from Sanchez that may have pleased a lot of Tiger fans took place. Alex Wilson and Frankie Rodriguez both gave up 2-run homers of their own, and Seattle put the game out of reach with the loss. They're a third straight. The Tigers now sit only a game above the Chicago White Sox for last place in the AL Central. The two teams are back at it again today from Safeco Field at 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time. The Michigan High School College, Soccer Coaches Association announced Monday that Daniel Stefan out of DeWitt High School was named Miss Soccer for the 2017 season. Stefan is the Lansing area's first player to earn the award since Holt's Megan Pipkins did it in 2003. Stefan scored 57 goals and had 59 assists during her 4-year varsity career and finished her season with 14 goals and 10 assists. Last year was her senior year. The DeWitt grad will make her way to East Lansing this summer to further her soccer career with the Michigan State women's soccer team. Stefan said she chose to play for MSU because she always envisioned herself as a Spartan, and having the opportunity to play near her family, friends, and hometown was just an added bonus. Then, Mr. Big Shot.
They have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the 3. Overtime. Amazing.
I said to you, coach, as he crossed that court, that's a good look right there.
They are going crazy here at the Palace.
That's just who he is, huh? Chauncey Phillips with the news breaking yesterday of the Cleveland Cavaliers parting ways with general manager David Griffin. The Cavs and owner Dan Gilbert are targeting former Pistons star guard Chauncey Phillips. I'm not sure if I did that well. Jacob, was that okay?
It could use some
it was
work.
Okay. I know.
We'll try again later. Sorry.
I've only been to one game actually at the Palace, so I know all of the famous announcements and things like that, but really haven't mastered the art just yet. It's coming. It's coming. According to the Vertical's Adrian Wojnarowski, Gilbert and Mr. Big Shot will meet up soon to discuss the job and a potential deal. Phillips, who currently holds a job as a television analyst, had a strong relationship with Gilbert and Cavs coach Tyronn Lue. Phillips had no front office experience, but he recently did interview for the Atlanta Hawks general manager job. His strong leadership characteristics are what have led him to be considered to become a front office exec. News out of the Detroit Pistons camp yesterday, Australian forward Aaron Baines has declined his $6.5 million player option and will become an unrestricted free agent this offseason, as first reported by The Vertical. With the loss of Baines, the Pistons center rotation now stands at Andre Drummond and Boban Marjanovic, who are slated to earn over $30 million combined this upcoming season. Baines and his agent believe that his value lies above the $6.5 million watermark he is making right now. If he were to rejoin the Pistons, the team would have to commit probably at least over $40 million to the center rotation. In the 2016-2017 campaign, Baines averaged 4.9 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, and 0.4 assists per game. With the offseason for the Detroit Lions now in full swing, speculation of Matthew Stafford's contract has escalated. Stafford, who is going into the final year of his current contract, says that he hasn't been paying too much attention to contract matters this offseason. Of course, though, That's the Lions front office's job. Lions GM Bob Quinn said early last month that talks are in the early stages and that he hoped that talks would amp up later in the summer. Quinn recently told the Detroit Free Press that he's always thinking positive. Quote, but I've said it a bunch of times. It takes two sides to do a deal, and I feel confident that we'll get something done. Former Michigan basketball star DJ Wilson is gaining traction as the NBA draft approaches. Enough interest has grown around Wilson that he's likely to be selected in the latter part of the first round, somewhere in the 20 to 30 picks range. That's the consensus of most updated mock drafts. DraftExpress.com is predicting Wilson will be selected number 22 overall by the Brooklyn Nets. God bless you if that's true, TJ. ESPN's Chad Ford predicts that Wilson at number 28 will go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Also, hoping for the best, DJ. According to Ford, the Lakers are said to be on high for this high-flying stretch four, which makes a bit of sense. Former Wolverines Rob Pelinka was named general manager in March following a lucrative career as an agent and is now overseeing the Lakers. This will be his first draft as GM, and most attention is on the team's number two overall pick and possibly the selection of hometown Lonzo Ball. Very quietly, Pelinka could lean on the alma mater to fill that second overall first-round pick. The Philadelphia 76ers, speaking of the draft, completed their trade for the number one overall pick in this year's draft yesterday, landing the pick from the Boston Celtics on Monday in a move that clears the way for the 76ers to grab point guard Markel Fultz. Philadelphia will hold the number one pick for the second straight year and worked Fultz out on Saturday night as talks with the Celtics got to their final stages. It was agreed to in principle at that point, with the last holdup being the customary league approval on terms. Finally, though, that's gone through. Boston gets the number three pick in Thursday's draft from Philadelphia, plus either a first rounder in 2018 and 2019 if the Los Angeles Lakers hold a pick between the number two and number five slots next season. Boston gets that one. In other words, it is protected. But if not, Philadelphia will send Boston either its own first rounder in 2019 or Sacramento's first rounder that year, up to Philly's discretion. In short, Philadelphia gets the guard it wanted in Fultz, and Boston stockpiles yet another draft Hall in exchange for sliding down only two slots this year. Danny Ainge, GM of the Celtics, actually said as well that the guy they're going to get at number three is the same guy they would have gotten at number one. We'll talk about that more later on in this show. But finally, the 2017 College World Series field is down to seven. Cal State Fullerton became the first team to head home after Florida State stayed alive with a 6-4 victory in Monday's matinee. The two teams went back and forth before the Seminoles took the lead for good in a 3-run seventh inning thanks to two bases loaded walks. The nightcap was all Oregon State, though. The Beavers demolished LSU. Go Tigers. In a 13-1 behind a superb performance from Bryce Femmel, who lasted eight innings and allowed just two hits. The highlight of the game came off the bat of KJ Harrison, whose sixth inning grand slam, the first of the TD Ameritrade Park era, put the game out of reach. LSU, which had previously won 17 straight, now enters an elimination game matchup with Florida State on Wednesday. Play resumes overall on Tuesday when Texas A&M and TCU battle it out to stay alive in the elimination bracket at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Louisville and Florida then square off in the late game at 7 p.m. Eastern. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. We've got a lot to talk about on today's current sports. Make sure you call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But as I mentioned, a lot to get to, just a little bit of time. Let's start the show.
last few days have been some of the hardest days of my whole entire life, my career, my everything, bro. I haven't slept much, haven't eaten much. I probably lost like 5 pounds, to be real with you. I've been having to make the hardest choice in my whole entire life. Either stop playing sports or stop creating videos. And I know it might not sound like, you know, that big of a comparison, but internally, it just rips my heart apart. One half loves football, one half loves making videos. You know, football has always been here for me. You know, I only started playing freshman year of high school, but it's brought me an extremely, extremely, extremely long way. I've had tons of opportunities, tons of experiences. Now this is CFE Arena. This is home to, you know, our basketball team, volleyball, lots of other sports. A lot of magic goes down in there. I don't know if you guys know, but we was in the NIT semifinal. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever been a part of. And at the end of the day, I've decided I'm going to continue making my videos. I'm going to continue bringing love and positivity and joy and inspiration to, you know, all my viewers, all my followers, all my subscribers. I'm going to upload regularly to this channel. None stopping that. I'm not demonetizing. I refuse to. So yeah, it's out of my hands now. The decision is in the NCAA's hands, whether they want to suspend me or whether they want to let me do me and keep running it up on the YouTube. So thank you guys for listening to my message. And thank you guys for supporting me all the way. Thank you guys for being here for me. Thank you guys for caring about a random kid in Orlando who kicks footballs for a living and holds cameras. I really appreciate y'all, man. Like I said, keep tuning in. It's not stopping. Much love. Peace out.
That's Donald De La Haye. He's a kickoff specialist for UCF. He also likes making YouTube videos. His dad was a vlogger before it was even popular, and he describes it as his passion. One side of his heart, with football is the other. As of 11:30 this morning, his most recent video has 158,000 views. It's number 47. On the YouTube trending list. Now, why is that? Why is a kid from Central Florida, a kicker who doesn't even do field goals, who only does kickoffs, so popular right now? Well, that's because he might not play football again. That's right. The NCAA is determining whether to prevent him from playing or not. All because he makes YouTube videos that compensate him. Quote, I'm going to upload regularly to this channel. I'm not stopping that. I'm not demonetizing. I refuse to. So it's out of my hands now. The decision is in the NCAA's hands, whether they want to suspend me or whether they want to let me do me. Word from Donald De La Haye again, UCF kickoff specialist on that team who just makes a lot of uploading really positive videos on his YouTube channel titled Destroying. Destroying. I encourage you to go check out his channel. He's actually got 59,000 subscribers. He's pretty popular and he's quite good at what he does. I've got to say, you could hear it in there. Kid's really uplifting, very positive, very charismatic. And he's actually Costa Rican, lives in Orlando right now where University of Central Florida is located. But he just makes videos about his life. Life as a student athlete. Life going to UCF. He talks about going to the student union and looking at pretty girls walk past and eating at the cafeteria, all of that. He's an average kid. He really is. And he's always had a passion for making videos. That's just something he likes to do. That's his creative side. He posted a video last week first announcing that the school, UCF, had asked him to stop making money off of his videos. Now, the way this works, for all of you who aren't familiar, I had to research this myself. YouTube, once you hit 10,000 original views on a video, they start paying you. They start just paying you essentially because that lets them generate ad revenue for visits to their site. It's kind of this mutually beneficial sort of exchange where both sides help out the other. It's really, you know, YouTube is the host, but at the same time, they're making money off of these guys too. So anyway, Dale Hay does that kind of as a side job. Of course, he's busy most of the time with practice and all of that. But anyway, he reached up to 159,000 viewers on this most recent video. It's gotten a lot of press, but on other ones like that, he's hit 10,000 plenty of times. Actually, I had some friends in high school who had a popular YouTube channel. It reached 50,000 views on a couple of videos, so it really did pretty well. And they got mailed a check a couple of months, depending on, you know, how well their channel did based on amount of viewers and traffic and whatnot. But they got paid a check every month, something like $58. Really not a huge amount, but enough to reward them for their time. That's why I'd imagine Dale Hay's compensation is pretty similar to. But this one, even for the NCAA, even for the lowest of the low, athletic supervision organizations in the United States, this one surprised me, even for them. And it's not because it doesn't break the rules. Technically, it does. Here's actually a state from UCF, University of Central Florida, where De La Haye attends college. UCF Athletics is committed to rules compliance. Our compliance staff strives to make sure our student-athletes are informed about all pertinent NCAA bylaws. Student-athletes attend regular educational meetings regarding NCAA eligibility. One of our goals is to help our student-athletes learn about the bylaws that govern intercollegiate athletics in an effort to help them maintain their eligibility. What saints, you know, what good guys over there at UCF. Because as of NCAA bylaw 1244, an athlete may establish his or her own business, provide the student athlete's name, photograph, appearance, or athletic's reputation is not used to promote the business. Well, you see, when you're running a YouTube channel, that's kind of hard. Obviously, your image is on the computer at all times of that video, without exception. Obviously, you've got to use your name. Obviously, you've got to somehow tie in that part of your life. The thing is, when you think, you know, there are certain restrictions on how much athletes can participate in terms of their athletic arena each time they go out. And I think usually that hovers around 29 to 30 hours a week of, you know, practice time, fill time. Then you've got events, of course, to account for. Anyway, though, you've got that much. But of course, the responsibility is actually so much greater. You've got to get accustomed to going to practice every day. You don't have any sort of transportation or anything like that. Chances are you live on campus. You also have to work out independently. Otherwise, your pro shot, that's gone. You've got to make sure that you are meticulous, that you are dedicated by yourself. Dale Hay did that. He's a good kicker. Like I said, a kickoff specialist and pretty humble about it. Like I said, he's a good YouTube personality because he makes fun of himself. But having a YouTube video, he naturally has to put out parts of his life, including student athletics. And being a student athlete at a school like Central Florida. So Donald De La Haye is now being punished for having a YouTube channel. I call that BS. I'm sorry. For one, this kid is not a kinesiology major. He's not a criminal justice major. He's not a communications major. He's a marketing major. That's a tough field. But you know what also comes down to marketing? How you market yourself. If you run a YouTube channel, you don't think that applies? You don't think that's good for a couple of 4.0s on the report card, if you can manage to get 59,000 subscribers just to watch you talk about your life, that's pretty good marketing. He created the channel, and he said this, as a way to further his career. And you know what? Guilty as charged to make a little bit of extra money, money that the Costa Rica native said that his family needs. That his family needs, that he would send back home. The NCAA, like I mentioned, you sink in so much time to that athletic event that you are committed to, that you signed a letter of intent to play with. Can you work another job? Yeah, but you aren't burning that midnight oil. You're going to be struggling to make retention because of the requirements under NCAA rules for your scholarship. We had Gabriel Ohner on the show earlier this year. He's a Harvard student who also participated in football over there at the hardest, most grueling academic school in the entire USA. And Gabe said that his usual schedule would be something like stay up to 1, stay up to 2, wake up at 6, work out, go to class, then you've got practice, go back home. He'd have to work as a lifeguard, work as something else. And that was the only way he did it. Gabe is up from the bootstraps. He works hard. But the NCAA put him under these conditions that nobody should really have to be subjected to when they're deciding the path, whether that be athletics or not, of their future career. That is ridiculous. That is an embarrassment to these athletes. How can you prevent these guys, when your mission is academics, well-being, and fairness, from participating in something they like, something that gives these kids, a lot of them who come from impoverished communities, a chance to excel, a chance to advance themselves up the social ladder? No, you rob that from them because of your selfishness, your avarice, your willingness to go out there and try to own every single thing these people do. They don't even own their own image, their own rights, anything like that. It's modern day work servitude. That is exactly what the NCAA puts these kids under. And do some of them get free scholarships? Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know what? A lot of them don't even cover the meal plans these kids need. Remember Shabazz Napier, the UConn point guard, who went on to win a national championship with Kevin Ollie? He said that he used to go home hungry some days because practice would take him past the cafeteria time. He didn't have money for food. Remember Arian Foster, the Houston, Texas, Texans running back who went to the University of Tennessee? His mom had to sell her wedding ring one time to pay for their electricity, pay for their food. And instead of the NCAA helping him out or, you know, providing some other sort of financial aid, Arian Foster took a little bit of a backdoor payment from the University of Tennessee and was punished for it. For helping feed his family? Are you kidding me? This is how the NCAA operates, though. They exploit these athletes over and over again. And I don't know why this time it irritated me so, because this has been going on forever. This has been the business model, the perfect business model. If you want to exploit your workers, you don't have to pay them a dime. That all comes from the university. But then the universities, they're complicit in this too. Like I said, UCF, they're not fighting this. No team is saying, hey, go out there. We want you to profit from this. No team's fighting it because guess what? MSU, when Connor Cook was around, guess what jersey they sold? 18. Connor Cook's jersey. Guess whose name it didn't have on the back of it? Connor Cook's. No, it was just an 18 jersey. Nothing to do with him whatsoever, right? When LSU had Leonard Fournette, guess what jersey they sold? 7. Nothing to do with Leonard, though. Nothing to do with the 4th overall pick of the NFL draft this year who went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nothing to do with the charisma, the power on the field, the attractiveness to fans. No, it was just a random number 7 jersey, right? This is how the system operates. This is why I will always have immeasurable support for Northwestern for trying to find that student union, student athlete union on their football team. But of course, no difference has been made. Not one whatsoever. So when you look at this, when you think that a scholarship covers all these kids' cost, when that it really frees them up for life in college, just like anybody else, a chance to get an education and once again climb the social ladder. No, it doesn't. That is BS. Once again. You see, I mean, actually, we'll keep it real. You know, I have a scholarship. I'm out of state. It's the only way I was able to afford coming to MSU, to come to MSU. That's what I have. That's what makes it work for me. You know what the requirements are for me? I can tell you off the top of my head because I'm always conscientious about them. 3.2 grade point average. Nothing too high, nothing too low, but that's what I need. I need to make sure that I participate in an honors college activity. One honors college activity each semester. And then, essentially, I need to make sure that somehow I do an honors college academic progress plan, which is me saying what I learned over the course of this past year. That's what's needed from me. I don't need to put in 30 hours a week on the football field. That leaves plenty of time for me to get a job, like here at WKAR, to help advance my future interest, to help me get a head start on my career field, hopefully, that'll pay off in the long run. Donald De La Haye, he doesn't have that opportunity because he belongs to the NCAA. We'll move on in just a second, but let me read you the NCAA's mission statement, if I could. Number one, academics. Providing opportunities to earn a college degree is at the heart of our mission. Student-athlete graduation rates are the highest ever, with 80% earning their degrees. As I mentioned, Donald De La Haye, he might beg to differ on that one, because his YouTube channel, it does a lot more than make him a couple hundred bucks a month. It is directly applicable to his major.
As of right now, I'm living it day by day. I'm still waiting to hear from the NCAA and people at compliance and, you know, all the guys up there that, like I said, I feel like I'm in trial right now, kind of. I didn't do anything bad. I've been chasing my dreams, being positive, being happy, spreading love, spreading joy, spreading entertainment. At the end of the day, I mean, you go to school to figure out what you want to do in life, to figure out how you can take your talents and what you're good at to make money. And I believe I found that. I love computers, I love cameras, I love to film, I love to edit, I love being creative. I love being myself to you guys, and I love being myself behind and in front of a camera.
So get this, just because the kid's good at what he does, at posting YouTube videos, like you said, you go to college to find out what you want to do the rest of your life, and he's found that, he gets punished for it. He really does get punished for it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in Uptown New Orleans. I used to go outside the Jazz Fest. I played trumpet. I'd have my case open like any street musician you'd see, hoping for a few tips when I was a young kid. And it was really my passion at the time. But I'd always get some money from it. And it was something that, you know what, I loved doing. It was really something that I poured my heart into. I still look back on so fondly. That would be an NCAA violation. Pursuing a dream, doing a hobby even, that is an NCAA violation. So next time that you think a scholarship suffices, no, it doesn't. It's not even permissible for student athletes to belong to themselves. They belong to the NCAA. And like I said, schools are complicit in this. This is their fault too. Because guess what? As per the NCAA, it's permissible for student-athletes to be involved in promotional activities that are deemed institutional, charitable, educational, or nonprofit for the school. Nonprofit? You gotta be kidding me. All those photo shoots, you don't think that schools gain traction on social media in terms of website hits, in terms of national popularity because of that? Nah. But you know what? It's a system that you can't really fight because these guys aren't professional athletes yet. This is their one chance to make it big, to get noticed. And at the end of the day, a free education, it might not be all that they've earned. They've earned more, but it's still a lot. And you can't blame these kids for not boycotting the institution altogether. But the thing is, that's how it should be. Because the NCAA right now is corrupt, it's dysfunctional, and more than anything, it exploits these young athletes. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, I'm Isaac Constance, holding it down today for Al Martin. And I encourage you, before we hit our first break, to go on YouTube, check out Donna De La Haye's YouTube channel. Again, that's Destroying, DeestroYing. And help this kid out, because you know what? He deserves it. Let's hear our first break. Coming out of that, we're actually going to help prepare you next time for the two big drafts that are coming Wednesday and Thursday. The NHL and the NBA both hosting big game changers in the whole grand scheme of things. We'll talk about that and so much more. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. He's coming back from a flight today. Coming back. Boy, I kind of took on a little bit of a Wayne personality for this song. That actually went with it perfectly. Of course, go DJ going in the background right now. But Al Martin coming back from a flight today from Miami, Florida, where he was for Father's Day. Wishing him well. But we just got done chatting about Donald De La Haye, the UCF kicker, who's kind of been faced with an ultimatum. Give up making videos on YouTube or give up football. And it appears he's made his choice. He's keeping with the YouTube videos. He's fine this. But as far as I'm concerned, this might be the end of the story. I mean, he might just keep on going with the YouTube videos because it is a violation of NCAA rules technically. But again, NCAA rules are some of the most backwards in all of really international and national college athletic associations. So anyway, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR with any comments on that. I want to get the thoughts too, though, of our engineer for the day, Jacob Herbert. Jacob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Isaac.
What did you think about Donald De La Haye's comments, his thoughts on this matter, his choice, and kind of just the cruddy situation that he's in right now?
Yeah, I think it's very unfortunate that the NCAA is kind of exploiting him. And the NCAA, in my mind, or this might actually be true, it's always about them. And if they're not making money, then you're doing something wrong. And I have to commend the kid for saying, you know what, kind of, you know, screw you to the NCAA and doing something that he's good at and something that he loves. Sure, he could have a promising career in football, but he does these YouTube videos to make money for his family. And the NCAA is straight up just saying, no, you have to stop. You have to play college football, make us money. We're not going to give you anything. We're going to sell your jerseys without your name on it. We're going to, you know, put you in video games. We're going to air your games on TV and make millions of dollars off those games. But no, you can't make videos to help your family. Sorry.
Yeah, kind of ludicrous when you put it that way. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this is as lopsided of an exchange as you can get. Like I said, though, these kids are in a tough position. I'm not saying if I was a student athlete, I'd be like, oh, I'm boycotting. I probably wouldn't have the guts to stand up like De La Haye has. I mean, credit to this kid for choosing the video's path. But the thing is, these kids, this is their one shot at a free education. I mean, it's hard to just say, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to waste that just to make a stand. It would need to be nearly universal for all of these kids to do that, for it to have any sort of impact. And even then, I'm sure the NCAA would bring in fillers. I'm trying to envision what that would be like. And in fact, we've had times like that before when the path to the NCAA was pretty diluted because of, I think, World War II, actually. We saw a lot of that going on, some of the top players being selected. And the product, from what I've heard, I was not alive back then, but the product supposedly was not the same. So anyway, call in 517-355-9527. I want to visit two big drafts that are coming up in the upcoming days. The NHL expansion draft to welcome the Las Vegas Golden Knights into the league, and the NBA draft, starting with the NHL expansion draft, the Red Wings exposed list and protected list was given out by Ken Holland yesterday. And you know what? There were some big names, in particular one that caught the eye of just about every fan. Peter Mrazek, the 25-year-old goalkeeper who was the hero two playoffs ago against the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's exposed. If they so choose, Las Vegas can pick him up, pay his salary, and he is done with the Red Wings forever. Now listen, Ken Holland, he's had his ups, he's had his downs. This was a down. Mrazek is by far the Red Wings' most valuable asset of any exposed. And there's a good chance that Las Vegas won't necessarily start him, even if they pick him, because Marc-Andre Fleury is a likely pick of the Penguins. I think there's actually no doubt that he'll be picked by Las Vegas, not after the series that Matt Murray had. So the Penguins looking to, you know, fill in that void, but at the same time, Las Vegas, who would you rather start your franchise with than Marc-Andre Fleury? That's about as well as you can do through an expansion draft. But the thing is, the Red Wings, they had another option when it came to exposing a keeper. Instead of a 25-year-old with a manageable contract and a lot of potential, you had a 33-year-old who was much better last year, given that is true. And really a Red Wings legend, all things considered, Jimmy Howard, but he's 33. He's got a contract which is over $5 million. He's not who you would pick to start a franchise as that goaltender. He doesn't have the same trade value. He doesn't have the same longevity up and coming that Mrazek does. He just would not have been picked, plain and simple. So, you know what? There's an easy solution. You list Howard. He's not picked. You keep Mrazek and Howard. Even if you want to trade Mrazek, go for it. He's at least got some tread when it comes to that. And you know what? You're probably going to lose a guy like Luke Glendening, Riley Sheehan, or Darren Helm. I'm not saying that you want to do that, but at the same time, a rebuild's long overdue. You've got enough forwards. You've got a gluttony of that where it can make a difference. So Holland said, it does sound like Mrazek maybe has some interpersonal conflict with that team. He said, quote, "We had a tough year. We're trying to build our team. I'm not spending any future assets to hang on to players." Doesn't sound like he's too fond of Mrazek right now, but at the same time, Mrazek, through his first 100 games, credit to Jim Costa for this graphic I found on his Twitter page, but Peter Mrazek, 50-32-8, with an average of 2.1 goals allowed, 92 save percentage, 9 shutouts. Now let's compare that to some greats in the NHL. Martin Brodeur, 53-27-14 with a 2.24 goals allowed average, a 91 save percentage, 7 shutouts. Henrik Lundqvist, 54-30-12, 2.36 goals against average, 91.5 save percentage, 4 shutouts. Jonathan Quick, 56 wins, 2.47 goals against average, 91% save percentage, and 5 shutouts. Yeah, so Mrazek, compared to all those greats, has the lowest goals against average, the highest save percentage, and the highest amount of shutouts. Jacob, was this the right move to expose Peter Mrazek?
No. From a managerial standpoint, no. And you laid out everything there. Mrazek has just a year left on his deal. He's the cheaper player. Jimmy Howard's 33 years old, 8 years older than Peter Mrazek. He has 2 years left on his deal with it's a $5.3 million cap hit. So it's very unlikely that a team is going to take Jimmy Howard. He's got, like I mentioned, he makes a lot of money. He's 33 years old, and he's incredibly injury prone. I mean, his career, unfortunately, has been kind of ruined or has had a lot of speed bumps because of injury. But I guess I can sort of understand Ken Holland's argument in terms of exposing Mrazek. He is coming off a career worst season. He had a 3.04 goals against average and just a .901 save percentage in 50 games. Mm-hmm. He did represent the Czech Republic, his native country, in the World Championships, and he didn't do so hot there either. He had a 2.47 goals against average and just a .881 save percentage. This is a guy who, you know, was once a Vezina candidate a couple years ago, and now he is slid in, you know, to the basement in terms of NHL goaltenders. And Jimmy Howard had a fantastic year last year. He was injured for a couple months, but he had a career best year. He only allowed just over two goals on average and had a .927 save percentage in only 26 games played. His problem when he was playing is he didn't get any goal support. You know, there's been speculation that Peter Mrazek kind of has some attitude problems. He's kind of, after the hot start that he took to his career, he's kind of got that cocky, like, I'm the best of the best attitude.
And that's why I think it is, honestly. I think that for some reason, Ken Holland got that impression. I heard a rumor that Mrazek was actually trying to press the Red Wings to get them to sell Howard, get them to trade Howard. And, you know, there are guys who are so toxic for a locker room that, you know, you've just got to get rid of him. But at the same time, I think Mrazek was a building block for this team, even after a bad season.
Yeah, and there's the whole, you know, you and I were talking earlier before the show started, the whole fresh start narrative for Petey Mrazek. I don't see Vegas drafting him. I think it's a conclusion they're gonna their starter is gonna be Marc-Andre Fleury, and there, you know, there are plenty of other talented. I mean, Roberto Luongo is available. Mm-hmm. Antti Raanta, the backup from the Rangers. I mean, I do not see Vegas drafting Mrazek. However, there's the chance that they do draft him and then flip him for a trade to get more picks, you know, better players, whatever. I think that's the most likely of the scenarios, is that he gets flipped for a trade.
And that's why I think, too. I think that, like I said, he's by far the most valuable Red Wings asset available. I mean, especially even if they wanted to keep him just around for a little bit, see if any major injuries occurred, and then shop him on the market. That would be a decent way to go for Vegas, if you ask me. But, you know, when you compare this, like I said, maybe Luke Glendening, Riley Sheehan, or Darren Helm, it's clear to me that if you just picked one off of talent, it's obviously going to be Mrazek. So, anyway, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. In other draft news, there's been a lot of shuffling around in the NBA. Yeah, that's right. Of course, the Boston Celtics, who had this number one pick courtesy of the Brooklyn Nets, despite having the best record in the Eastern Conference all throughout the year, they had, you know, this lopsided deal way back when, where the Brooklyn Nets acquired Jason Terry, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett for a slew of first-round picks in the future. The Celtics decided to shop it. And, you know, I've heard rumors that Markel Fultz just didn't strike them as a winner. I've heard rumors that they were really impressed with Josh Jackson. I've heard rumors that they're just stockpiling more and more picks. I think they've got 8 first-rounders over the course of the next 3 years to try to make a move for somebody like Anthony Davis, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, even Kristaps Porzingis now, I'm hearing right before the show. So there's all of that that's being taken into consideration. The thing is, I like Markel Fultz. I think the kid is a stud. I'm not sure exactly who to compare him to, because he's got a very finesse game intermingled with his elite athleticism. The guy gets up the court well. He knows the game really at an advanced level for a kid his age, and he doesn't bring off-the-field baggage. You know, I'm sorry. I'll admit to it. I liked Lonzo Ball at UCLA, and then I met LaVar Ball, courtesy of ESPN, Fox Sports, and all these other stupid networks that gave him enough attention so that he became relevant in the sporting world. But until then, I liked Lonzo Ball. The thing is, though, if you're a team with a lot of young, impressionable players, again, what do you want? A nice, quiet leader, or an assertive leader if he's a good guy and can back it up on the court, who's going to come in and be the face of your franchise. You don't want a kid's dad who's going to be the face of your franchise. That's the last thing you want. It's a distraction. Lonzo Ball, I think he's still probably goes to the Lakers at number two. But there's a slot he falls down to the Suns at number four. And there's just as big of a chance that we see another big shakeup, whether that's Boston moving down again, whether that's Phoenix trying to make a move up to number two to secure backcourt of Devin Booker and Lonzo Ball, that I think would be devastating for future years. I think that would really wreak havoc on the rest of the NBA. But we've seen all of that so far. Now, the thing is to consider, we've also got a lot of superstars that are on the blocks. We see Kevin Love. A lot of rumors swirling around him. Will he be traded to give some assistance to LeBron James and Kyrie Irving? Will Paul George be traded, or will his contract expire as a member of the Indiana Pacers after informing the team that he would most likely sign with Los Angeles next year? The Los Angeles Lakers, of course, being close to his hometown of Fresno, California. PG been rumored to be interested into joining that squad for quite some time. Jimmy Butler now on the trading blocks too. This Chicago swingman had a great season last year, one of his best, but they've got Dwayne Wade, who's likely accepting his player option. Again, they've got a gratuitous amount, honestly, of guard talent. For some reason, Fred Hoiberg just couldn't get enough of it, and Gar Foreman kept on trading, getting more and more. Michael Carter Williams, for example, they drafted Denzel Valentine only to go on and sign the likes of Dwayne Wade and, again, trade for Michael Carter Williams. They've also got Isaiah Cannon in the backcourt. It's busy back there. So Jimmy Butler, very likely on his way out. Again, the Boston Celtics could be interested in that. What I want to see is the Celtics go get somebody. What I want to see is the Spurs go get somebody. Because the thing is, we need a little bit more competitiveness restored to the NBA right now. These superstars, it doesn't matter if they're one-year rentals. This is a chance for teams to pop up. And you know what? As bad as that Brooklyn Nets trade was, a lot of people call it the worst trade in NBA history. I don't, for one reason. It's because the vision was there. The vision was, you know what? We've also got Darren Williams, Brooke Lopez, Joe Johnson, Andre Kirilenko. What we're going to do, build a super team for 1 year. I know that these guys are aging, that they're going to fall off that precipice of talent maybe as soon as a year. But nonetheless, we want to be competitive for a championship right now. That's what teams need to do. Otherwise, the Golden State Warriors will not be threatened because Kevin Durant declined his player option. He's most likely coming back. Steph Curry, no question about it. He already made his intentions pretty clear. Andre Iguodala might not, but the Warriors, they'll find somebody. That's just how it goes when you've got Bob Myers as your GM, Steve Kerr as your coach. You've got the basketball minds to make it work. So we need teams right now to take risk, because if you take risk and they work, more free agents start coming. You're able to trade that aging talent for draft picks to other power-hungry teams, and you restore a little bit of balance to the NBA. We're gonna hit our second break, actually, real quick. Just coming out, going to end the show by talking about MSU's two moves. Their two additions to the recruiting class for 2018, both moves that might signal maybe the tide is turning. We'll talk about that and so much more coming back from this break. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, man, feels good to come back to that. That's actually one of my favorite songs. Right above it, Lil Wayne and Drake. That came out my freshman year of high school. But no time to dawdle on that. Still a little bit of news I want to pass along to you guys, even though there's only 2 minutes remaining. First, I want to pass along the news of the MSU signing from this weekend. Davion Williams, a 2018 defensive back and cornerback, three-star, as rated by 247 Sports, 76th nationally at that position, did choose Michigan State. He chose it over schools that pretty decent programs, such as UCLA, Iowa State, Temple, Syracuse, a few MAC teams, as well as Wisconsin, Purdue, Iowa even. So I think that's a big addition, especially in the wake of Deontay Copeland leaving the program and Justin Lane. He should be good to go next year, but obviously as that receiver-corner hybrid, maybe a little bit of work to do. Also, MSU signed, as of yesterday, I believe, Dimitri Douglas, the number 130 tackle in the 2018 class by 247 Sports. He's a big dude, and MSU especially losing a little bit of depth on the offensive line, especially a leader in a guy like Brian Allen coming in 2018. I think this signing helps a lot. It's actually the first signing on either side of the line that MSU has made this summer. That wraps it up for today's edition of Current Sports. Though Al Martin will be back. Actually, will. I know I said that yesterday, but he'll be back tomorrow live on AM 870 and FM 94.5. You've been listening to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Isaac Constance. Thanks for tuning in today.